Jesus Christ our Lord. And his church says, amen. You know, this part is really so wonderful. I love where we're getting finally into chapter 2. Now listen carefully. You know already that this book is anonymous. I believe that Paul is the author, but that doesn't really mean anything. Whether I'm right or wrong, it doesn't matter. We know who penned this letter, because it is a letter. It's not really an epistle. Remember, it is a letter, Hebrews 13:22, a letter of exhortation. It's not meant to discourage the Jewish believers. It's meant to encourage them. Amen? Hebrews is a book. Or letter, if you will. It's not about losing your salvation, as so many do believe that. Listen, if you can lose your salvation, then that means that God has a different kind of salvation that's in the Scriptures. In other words, the only salvation I know in the Bible is that of eternal salvation. Amen? Well, that means we are eternally redeemed. We are eternally saved. If we can lose our salvation, if we're truly born again, I mean, does God halfway save people? No, maybe in Arkansas, but not here. You know what I'm saying? No, we're saved, loved one. We're saved. You know, we're fully saved. We're fully complete in Christ Jesus. Amen? There's nothing more that we need. And so the Bible, if we're not saved, if we don't have eternal life, if you can lose it, then Romans chapter 8, verse 1 is not true. Matter of fact, all of chapter 8 of Romans is not true. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Amen? And there's about 16, 17 things that says that these things Paul writes will never separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8 begins with no condemnation, ends with no separation. So if eternal life is not true, then Romans 8, we need to get rid of it. And if it's not true, we need to throw out Philippians 1:6, don't we? Being confident. How can we be confident of this? If, you know, he who began a good work in you will not complete it until the day of redemption. We can't be confident, can we? You see what I'm getting at? So we can go through the Bible. What did Jesus said? Listen, how about this one? We need to throw this way out if eternal life is not true. Jesus said in John 10:27-28, what did he say? He said, my sheep, and this is us, my sheep, they hear my voice. Amen? So everyone say the word hear. Very important word this morning. They hear my voice. He says, I know them. I have an intimate relationship with them, and they follow me. And then he says in the next verse, and no person, nothing on this earth shall ever be able to snatch them out of my hands. Amen? So when we talk about eternal life, that is something that we have. So we're not talking about losing your salvation this morning. Listen, we now look at the first of the five warnings, and they have troubled so many believers throughout all the generations, like I just said, because they think they might be able to lose their salvation, that if they just get in trouble, then God is through with them. Loved one, listen, number one, to whom were these warnings given? That's very important. Were they given to unbelievers? Or is a letter written to unbelieving Jews to say, man, you got to get saved? That's not what it's about. It's written to Jewish believers. Very important that we know that and determine that in our heart. And matter of fact, is the author born again? Yes. He even includes himself. You'll find it says we and us throughout the letter here. So it's written to believers. Before us this morning, the first warning out of the five, it's one of the briefest, if you will, and it's the danger of drifting, you know? And that's the title of the sermon, is literally, lest we drift away. Now listen, all the warnings are addressed to Jewish believers. Why? They are contemplating, evidently, to return to some form of Judaism, because the temple is still standing. Sacrifices are still being offered. That's why God, in chapter 1, what does God do? It starts with God. No other New Testament book starts that way. And he gives the incredible, glorious, unbelievable revelation of who his son is. God says, in the last days, God has spoken through his son. His son, who is the heir of all things, who is God. He is God. Amen. He created all things. He sustains all things. Oh my gosh. It's the only name given under heaven by which a man can be saved. The name of Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. So we start thinking about all of this. And so in chapter one, now listen carefully, very, very important. In chapter one, do you remember how many commands I gave you in chapter one? I didn't give you any. Do you know why I didn't give you any commands in chapter one? There aren't any. That's very important. God starts out, it's all about Jesus, because Jesus is better. He is superior. 13 times in Hebrews, Jesus is better. He's more superior. He's better than the angels. He's better than the prophets. He's better than Aaron. He's better than Moses. He's better than the Levitical priesthood. Jesus is superior to all things because he created all things. Amen? Amen. Jesus is God. He is the God-man. And so chapter one, it's all about the Lord. There's not one command for the church, not one thing that we need to obey in chapter one. But now we come to the first command in Hebrews. It's just like Paul. I'm not saying, again, that's how Paul always does it. He gives us doctrine, tells us who someone is or who Christ is and who he is to us. Then he tells us to do something. Does that make sense? And so now we go and we look at this chapter here, chapter 2, this first command. Loved one, it is so important. Look at it with me. Therefore, what does that word mean? To go back and see what's there for. Well, that's chapter 1. Because God has spoken in the last days through his Son. You got it? Very important. Therefore, we must do something. We must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. Say it again. Heard. Why? Lest we drift away. Loved one, listen. This verse is so pregnant. Every word is vital. Every word has tremendous meaning. Jesus, the creator, the sustainer of all things. Listen, therefore, because Jewish believers and us as well, we have now received a revelation, a better revelation, better than the old covenant. We're now in the new covenant. The first command in Hebrews, boy, every word again in verse 1, they are vital. It is over the top priority, and the command is listen. Open your ears and listen. He says, look at it again. He says, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. The four Gospels, Jesus himself, lest we drift away. We must. It's not an option. It is a divine necessity. It could read like this. We must give all the more careful attention to the things that we have heard. Did you notice that the writer did not say rejecting the things that we've heard? Really, that word there where it says the more earnest heed, we could say don't neglect the things that you've heard. They weren't rejecting it, but they were indeed neglecting it, the truth about Jesus Christ. Are you? Boy, that's important. The 21st century church, we can't neglect those things. Listen, we need to listen to Jesus. Amen? Let me ask you a question. Will you ever go wrong by listening to Jesus? No. Will he ever take you to a wrong place? No. Man, listen, we need to be listening to our Lord today more than any other time. And I believe that this second chapter is, like I've said before, Hebrews is perfect timing for this church, 2023. This is a wake-up call, not only to every believer, it is a wake-up call to the church. I want you to think about this, this first command, and I really want you to just get this into your heart right now. The first command, hear Jesus, listen to Jesus. Okay, is that hard? I mean, is it difficult? I mean, does it cause you to sweat? I mean, does it make you, okay, I got to pull out my wallet and give? Come on. No. There's no labor involved. Do you understand? First command, listen. God says, you have to listen to my Son. He's better than the prophets. He's better than the angels. He's better than Aaron. He's better than Moses. He's better than the Levitical priesthood. He is superior to all things because he created all things. You have to hear him. Jesus Christ is God's last word to mankind. Amen? There's not another. He is the only one. So he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Whenever, what did God cry out from heaven? He said, "Behold, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him," or literally, "listen to him." That's how we live in this life, Christian. We not only listen to Jesus, we not only see Jesus, as we'll learn in Hebrews later, we not only consider Jesus, which we're going to learn in Hebrews later, we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen? It's all about Jesus and no one else. The command, listen to my Son. Listen to Jesus. Listen to what he says. Why? There comes the reason. Lest we drift away. It's only drift away. It's only here in the New Testament. Those are nautical terms, okay? It's like a person going out to Lake Grapevine, and they're in their boat, and they pull up to the dock to get gas or go inside and get a Coke or whatever they get, and they tie the boat. I only stutter in the second service. I don't do that in the first service, Marty. They tie their boat to the dock, but the rope is tied loosely. So they go in and they buy their Cheetos and Dr. Pepper, whatever they get. They come back out and they go, "My boat's gone." Why? It floated away. It floated away. And the boat, it doesn't cry out, "Hey, come back and get me." It's gone. It floats. It doesn't care. It's just floating away. That's what this word drift away right here means. It means to slip away or to float by. It's like a ring slipping off a finger. It means to be washed away ever so slowly from the place of safety that you need to stay at. That's what it means to drift away. The danger here with those words, loved one, now listen, the danger of drifting away, it's about great loss happening without being noticed. Without being noticed. It's a gradual thing. Have you ever been like on the bank of a river or, you know, and you're fishing and all, or on a boat, and all of a sudden you see a dead fish float right by you? Let me ask you a question. Was the dead fish that was floating by, were they struggling? No. Did they look at you with the eye, you know, or flipper? You know what I mean? No. Why? There's no effort. You know, they're just floating down the river. Listen, drifting requires no effort on your part. It's like a slow, unnoticed leak in your tire. You go there and you're driving and, you know, and you don't know it, but the tire's getting lower and lower. All the air is going out of it unnoticed by you. You don't even notice. And the next thing you know, you're on the side of the road and it's flat. Are you following me? McLaren puts it this way, that great old man who's now in heaven, he says that drifting away conveys a vivid picture of a man holding some treasure with limp fingers and allowing it to drop from his nerveless grasp. Ooh. Now I'm going to ask you a question. The Jewish believers, and this applies to them, it applies to us, what were they drifting away from? The truth about Jesus. Are you following me? That's why first chapter 1 was so important. They were drifting away from Jesus. They were drifting away from the things that they have heard about him, which would be the Gospels, the four Gospels and so forth. But they were slowly drifting away. And that's what's so bad about drifting. It's slow. It's not sudden. No Christian would get in trouble that way. It's slow. Slowly, day after day, you drift away from the truth that has set you free. Do you follow me? You just start drifting and you don't know that you're drifting, and you start drifting away from the incredible privileges that you have in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You start drifting away from who you used to know, or you know who you are in Christ. You start slowly drifting away from the things that you have heard, and that is the condition of the 21st century church today. The message of Jesus, the good news of the gospel, has floated by, slipped out of the heart of the 21st century church. Amen. Not let it happen here. No, listen, there is a strong current that's flowing through the world and the current today, and it's an ungodly current. And what is Hebrews telling us? This command is telling us right now, don't drift. You have to, number one, you have to anchor your heart to God's word, to the truth. Amen. You have to anchor it. I mean, you're solid. You can't be moved. If you are anchored down, you're right there. Amen. So you anchor your heart to God's word. Matthew 4:4. What did Jesus tell us? Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. Listen. That's what this is about, this command. Listen to him. He said, it is written in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone. Okay. Then what, Lord? But by every word, every word, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, and Jesus is the God-man. Amen. Do you see how important it is? You know that verse by heart. I know that verse by heart. But did you listen? Are you listening? See, that's the command in this first, second chapter of Hebrews. We are giving a command here. Listen, we've got to anchor our hearts to Jesus lest we drift away slowly, unnoticed, if you will. Why? Because we live in a world, we live in a nation. It's not only a post-Christian nation. Fort Worth is not only a post-Christian city, but we live in a post-truth culture. Do you understand? There's no truth out there. There's only one truth. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the truth. Amen. I don't care what the world does. I just don't want to do what the world does. No. Oh, listen to me. Look, there's a spiritual current that's flowing through the world, man, and it's flowing right into the church. We cannot neglect. We have to pay attention to the things that we have heard. Let me give you one. Here's what Jesus said. Listen to what Jesus said. Luke 9:23. If anyone desires to come after me, he says, here's what you have to do. Are we listening? Okay, he says, deny yourself, disown yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Now, we hear that, we listen to that, but if we don't put it into our hearts and do that, here's what happens. Jesus, we love him, we adore him, but he slowly starts drifting out of our sight. Why? We're not following him. Listen to the Son. God's last word is Jesus Christ to mankind. Now look at verse 2. It says, for if the word, okay, spoken through angels, all right, that was, remember that we already covered that. That was the giving of the law of Moses at Mount Sinai, Galatians 3:19 and Deuteronomy 33:2 speaks about when the Lord came down to Mount Sinai and the myriads of angels that were with him in the giving of the law. So it says here, if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, in other words, proved sure, and every transgression, any kind of willful disobedience and disobedience, which results from not hearing and listening, it says, received a just reward, a just punishment, a penalty. Verse 3, powerful scripture. How shall we escape? Now the author, again, he includes himself. How shall we escape if we neglect? It did not say if we reject. It says, if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, that's Jesus himself, the four Gospels, and of course a little bit in Acts, and was confirmed or proved true to us by those who heard him. So the apostles, the disciples, all the eyewitnesses. So the author says, how shall we put ourselves right there, how shall we, to whom God has spoken in these last days through his Son, he's the last word, how shall we escape if we neglect, not reject, so great a salvation? Now listen carefully. The warning here is very, very true. But I want you to see something. It is also very conditional. You see the word if? There's a condition on it. So what is the author doing? The exhortation that is given is to prevent this from happening to the believers. Now, I want to ask you a question. How in the world is it possible for any born again, spirit-filled Christian believer to neglect. That word means to give little attention to. It means to just regard lightly. Regard lightly. How can any believer, how is it possible for us to even think about neglecting so great a salvation? Do you know what you're saved from? Amen? You know, being saved is just not a fire insurance policy. That's crazy to think like that. No, loved one, listen, it's so much more than that. For a believer to think lightly, regard lightly this great salvation that we have, what does that mean? There is only one reason and one answer. They do not understand or they do not believe that it is a great salvation. Listen, we have been saved. We are saved by grace. We are saved, loved one. Oh, man, dear Lord, we are saved by a great Savior at a great cost from a great penalty, and all mankind needs it desperately. Every person needs to be. Jesus said, you must be born again. Amen? Now, listen, we were dead. Now, I was dead. I don't know about you, but when that hippie on the beach, whenever back in the hippie days, back in the what we call the Jesus movement, the Time magazine called it the Jesus Revolution. It was the last great awakening, by the way, in America. Thousands and thousands and thousands of young people came to Christ. What a glorious time that was. But we're not living in the old days. We live now. I'm ready for the revival now. Yes. So, loved one, here's the deal. You know, I mean, when you think about this, here we are. I was dead in trespasses and sins. I was spiritually dead. I went through the activities of life, but I only had physical life. I did not have spiritual life. I wasn't chasing after God. God was chasing after me. Does that make sense? I didn't want anything to do with God, but He wanted everything to do with me. Same with you. The moment that I was born again, I didn't know that I was justified. I couldn't probably even spell that word back then. And I certainly didn't know what justified meant. I didn't know that there was just, you know, I didn't know anything. I didn't know the 66 books of the Bible. I didn't know what sanctification meant, justification meant. I didn't know. I was a dummy. But the very moment that I was born from above, the very moment I was declared as if I had never sinned by God, just like you. Now listen, I did not know what Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, I did not know if that was in the Bible. I never heard of it. But at that very moment, you know what the God in heaven did to me? Here I am, not even an hour old in the Lord. I was declared righteous in His eyes, just as if I had never sinned. And not only that, the book of Ephesians teaches me the moment. Listen, God says this, Paul writes, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, who has blessed us, pronounced us blessed in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Every blessing. I didn't know that. Every blessing belonged to me. I was begging God to bless me after that. I didn't know I was blessed. Do you understand? I didn't know that He chose me before the foundation of the world. I didn't know that at that very moment, I still had a pack of cigarettes in my pocket and I had a case of beer in my truck. Don't be religious. And I'm standing there on the beach, the sun is coming up, and I'm not an hour old in the Lord. And I am now accepted in the Beloved. I was chosen before the foundation. I've chosen in Him, it says, before the foundation of this world. I was sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I was adopted. I became a son of the living God. I was seated in heavenly places with Christ. And God, 2 Corinthians 5:20, and for He, God, made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, sin. I didn't know that. That we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. How can you, how can I, how can the 21st century church think lightly of so great a salvation? Our names are written in heaven. We are citizens of heaven. Heaven is our home. We're going to be there forever and ever and ever. Oh, listen. You're saved by grace, not by works. It's a gift of God. You can't earn what God has given unto us. How can you think lightly of that? Oh, I look at that and say, oh, God, forgive us. But let me tell you about this great salvation. This great salvation is identical, the same, to where we left off last Sunday with verse 14 of chapter 1, talking about the angels and how they protect us and all this kind of stuff. It says, who will inherit salvation? That salvation and the salvation in chapter 2 is the same. It's talking about future. Future. You see, we are saved. Amen? We're saved from the power of sin. We're saved from the penalty of sin. One day we're going to be saved from the presence of sin. Does that make sense? Okay, so this right here, when it says this great salvation, remember that they're writing to Jews, Jewish believers, and it means something. So it's future. This is the millennial reign. This is the kingdom age. That's what this word right here is talking about. It's speaking of sharing in and having and participating in the future kingdom. This is not about losing your salvation. This is about losing rewards now when we show up at the Bema Seat of Christ. Does that make sense? That's what this is about. Listen, justification is only, that's only first base. That's only the beginning. It's not the ending. Amen? See, but too many believers are living in the past tense. You can't live in the past tense. You're already justified. These believers had already been justified, but they had to move forward into sanctification. That's present tense, continuous. Sanctification is a process by where we go from glory to glory into the same image of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? So that's what we're talking about right there. That's why it says in Hebrews 12:25, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. That first command again. Listen to him. It says, for if they did not escape, talking about how will we escape so great a salvation, it says, how will we escape who refused him who spoke on earth? How much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven? Now listen, how shall we? Well, he's not talking about that they. They means the lost, amen? How shall we escape? Listen, escape is personal for every person. You have to ask Jesus to be your Lord, amen? Come to Christ, that's what it means. Now listen, Jesus himself uses, in Luke's gospel, he uses the same word for escape in the Greek as I just read to you here in Hebrews. Let me give the scripture. Luke 21, verse 36, Jesus says this. It says, watch therefore, in other words, stay awake, okay? And pray always that you, that's the believer, may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of God. That's at the Bema Seat. Man, I want to escape all these things, don't you, that's coming? You better believe it. I want the rapture to get me out of here. Yeah. The Bible tells us about escaping and Paul writing to the Romans in Romans chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And he yells out and he said, man, listen, you guys, you're judging everybody? He said, how are you going to escape God's judgment the way you're doing all this? He says, do you not know that the goodness of God leads a man to repentance? Not dangling a person over hell. It's the goodness of God. Amen? No, listen, the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:3 about the lost. It says, when they, meaning the lost, not us. It says, when they say, oh, peace and safety, everything's great on planet Earth. It says, then sudden destruction comes without any warning. Sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. They shall not escape. That is a double negative in the Greek, the word they shall not escape, meaning there is no possibility of escape. The only way a person can escape is to be in Christ Jesus. Amen? Oh, the salvation that we have. You know, how about Noah's generation? Did they listen? No. What did Jesus say? He says in Luke's gospel, he tells us in Luke 17:26 and following, he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. It's going to be just the same. Jesus goes on, he says, listen, they're eating, they're drinking, they're building, they're marrying wives, all of it. And he says, and they were given in marriage until the very day now, until the day Noah entered the ark, the flood came and destroyed them all. It's destroyed them all. They did not escape. Now listen, why did they not escape? Why does Noah's generation, why didn't they escape? They didn't listen. Noah, the Bible says, was a preacher of righteousness. For 120 years, he warned them, I'm building an ark. I don't know what it means. I've never seen a flood. I've never seen it rain. God told me to build an ark on dry land, and there's one door, and that door is Jesus Christ. Amen. And come into the ark and be saved. But they wouldn't come in. You know why? They were drifting. They were drifting because they were not listening to God's word. Oh, how important that is. There is only one escape. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to me except by the Father. Proverbs, I don't know where it's at, 14:26, I think, says, there's a way. There is a way that seems right unto man. It just seems so right. There's a way that seems right unto man, but it leads only to death. It leads only to death. Listen to me now. We are in the greatest war in Christendom in our lifetime. Write this very minute. And here's the problem. We've got to wake up because Satan loves neglecting believers. Do you understand? He loves those things. Listen, I know that sometimes we're all guilty of neglecting our prayer time, neglecting the reading of God's word. Listen, I love to be in God's word. And this week, I'll be honest with you, this has been a hard week for me. I've had so many things going on, and I hated it. And when I woke up this morning and when I was trying to pray and everything, I said, Lord, you know I haven't been in the word like I wanted to be in, but there were so other emergencies, things that happened. Amen. So we can neglect Bible study. We can neglect our prayer. We don't want to do that, but sometimes it does happen. But to do it all the time? To do it all the time? Or to not obey the command in Hebrews 10, what is it, 24 and 25? Not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together is a habit of some? No, church attendance is important. We're the body of Christ. Amen? Very, very important. Listen, when we neglect spiritual things that Jesus has told us to do, the Word of God has told us to do, it costs us, loved one. It is costly. Why? Because you will drift right past in your life the things, the plans, purposes, whatever that God has for you. Drifting is a bad way. It's a terrible way to die, just floating through this life. Listen, I'm going to ask you a question. Hebrews, you know, well, let me make a statement. Hebrews, you know, is about running the race, isn't it? It's about pressing on. It's about running with endurance. It's about never quitting. You know, Paul the apostle, did Paul believe himself saved? Of course. But I want you to listen to what Paul did, even though he was saved. Listen carefully. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know, Paul writes, that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. In other words, you train, you want to win. Now they do it, meaning the Greek games and so forth. He's comparing, doing a contrast. He says, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, that little bitty fig leaf thing they put on, okay? But we, an imperishable crown. Now, that's not talking about heaven. That's talking about being at the bema seat of Christ. That's talking about being at the place of rewards. So Paul says, oh man, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. I know who I'm running to and how to do it. He says, I fight not as one beats the air. Man, I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. You know what that word means? It means I fail the test. It doesn't mean I lose my salvation. It means I'm going to lose rewards at the bema seat of Christ. Listen to me now. No Christian, no believer in any age will float or drift by the bema seat of Christ. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear at the bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. It tells us, he says, we must all appear. Each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he's done, whether it be good or bad. Listen, So the Bema Seat is not about our sins. Our sins have already been paid for. Amen? It's about what we do on this planet and how we serve the Lord. We listen to Him, then we do what He tells us to do. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're His representatives. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Amen? We're fishers of men to obey Him. So Paul, was Paul fearing that he's losing his salvation? No. He wasn't afraid of that. He did not want to lose the crown. He did not want to lose the reward. What disqualifies a believer? You ready? From the reward? Drifting from the truth. Drifting away from the truth and neglecting so great a salvation. Listen, we cannot stop running the race, okay? Jesus told us, listen to Jesus in Revelation 3:11. He says, behold, I'm coming quickly, and He is. He might come today before the Super Bowl. Now listen to what Jesus says. Hold fast what you have. That means you have something. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown, your reward. Listen, hold fast. It means hold it tightly with all of your strength. That means that what you're holding is counted to you as precious. It doesn't mean you neglect it. It doesn't mean that you just regard it lightly. Listen, there's somebody who wants to take your crown, and his name is Satan. Do you know that? He wants you, listen, he has so many false harbors to drift into in 2023. You've got to beware, loved one. He loves drifters, and his only desire is to steal. Listen to what Paul said again about running the race. He says in Philippians 3:12, he says, Paul the apostle, one of the greatest men that ever walked this planet, he says, not that I have already attained. I haven't made it. He says, or am I already perfected? But I press on that I may hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. I love Paul. Oh, man. Listen, Paul says, I'm an apostle. Yes, I sure am. But I have not arrived. I am still going from glory to glory. My spiritual growth is not complete. Listen to me. Paul the apostle said that. He said, was he the writer of one third of the New Testament? Yes. Did he raise the dead? Did he cast out devils? Did he heal the sick? Was he called up into the third heaven? Did he hear things that was unlawful for him to even say? Was he personally taught the God's word, the revelation of the gospel by Jesus Christ himself? Yes. I mean, he was a church planner. He was stoned. He was beaten. He was left for dead. He was in and out of prison. And Paul the apostle said, I have not arrived. You know what he said? You know what he's saying? He says, I have not drifted away. I listened to what Jesus said. I have not drifted away. Oh, I have not neglected any of those things, have you? You that are listening on the radio, you listening, have you? Oh, loved one, this is so important. Remember what it says in Hebrews 12? It talks about us, you know, that setting aside, laying aside, setting aside, casting aside, whatever it is. the sins, the sin, not sin singular, a particular sin. The sin, which is unbelief, by the way, the sin which so easily besets us, that always trips us up. Unbelief is a thief. Amen? No, he says, oh, let us lay aside, cast that away, and let us run with endurance. That is the determined dedication to never stop running. We just keep going. Endurance, the race that is set before us. How do we do it? Looking unto Jesus. Amen. Oh, let me read verse 3 again. How shall we escape if we neglect, not reject, but neglect, so great a salvation? Just regard it lightly, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, the eyewitnesses, the apostles. So this salvation, number one, it was first spoken by Jesus Christ our Lord. It was confirmed to be true and sure by the apostles, the disciples, the eyewitnesses. But here in verse 4, it is also borne witness by God the Father. Did you see the Trinity in there? Watch. It says, God also bearing witness, both with signs, plural, wonders, plural, miracles, gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will, not man's efforts. Loved one, listen, they were the will, the gifts and the wonders and all. They were the will of God then, and they are the will of God today. And God, what did God do? He bore witness to this, which means that is the highest evidence that can ever be given from God the Father. In Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, he says, "Men of Israel, hear these things. Listen, open your ears. Listen, there it is again. Listen to these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you, miracles or by miracles and wonders, signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know." Now, they witnessed all the miracles of the Lord. He raised the dead. He healed the leper. He fed the 5,000. The book of Acts is all about what Jesus began to do, and Jesus is still continuing. Amen? Amen. The birth of the church, was it supernatural? Yes. Absolutely, it was supernatural. But most of the church today no longer believes in the supernatural. He goes on, and he says, "This Jesus God raised up, by which we're all witnesses, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit," that's the endowment of power, "He, Jesus, he poured out this which you now see and hear," talking about on the day of Pentecost, the birth of the church, when the Holy Spirit came and filled the believers. They started speaking in other tongues and so forth. Remember that. Now, listen, what has replaced miracles? The world today, the church today, so many don't believe in miracles anymore. Well, what's replaced them then? Does the Bible not teach us in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Well, he hasn't changed. How about God the Father? Malachi 3:6, he says, "I am the Lord, I change not." God doesn't change. Nothing changes. And it says in Acts 2:43, after all these signs and wonders, it says, "Then fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles." It says fear came upon every soul. The word fear means awe. They were in awe. And you know what I love about Acts? Were they in awe about, oh, look at that big church building? There was no church building. Were they in awe because, oh, the kids' church programs, the singles program, the married, oh, do you follow me? Were they in awe over that? No. Oh, but they were in awe over the pastor. No. They were in awe over Jesus. They were in love with the Lord. They saw the miracles and the signs. Listen, the supernaturalness of God, the hereness and nowness of God hasn't left his church. He is still God. He is still the healer. Amen? Now, I want you to do something quickly if the time rushes on here. I want you to return to Hebrews 2:1. I want you to return to that first command in Hebrews, the command to listen to Jesus. Let me read it to you. "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed, the more careful attention. We can't neglect the things we have heard," past tense, "from Jesus, God's Son," who that's the last word to man, "that we have heard." Why? Well, lest we drift away. Listen to me. Drifting is quiet, Christian. It's quiet. It's almost unnoticeable. You just start floating. No Christian plans, "I'm going to wake up today and be lukewarm toward our Lord Jesus Christ and drift away from God." Amen? No, that doesn't happen. Listen, so great a salvation. I want you to ask yourself a question. I ask myself this question too. What makes, you're a believer, what makes you come alive? I mean, if somebody says something to you, you go, oh, you rewrite. I mean, what makes you come alive? What makes you come alive in your life that you're living right this moment? What makes you come alive? If you're a young person, well, I have a new iPhone 14. I wish I just had the first iPhone. You know what I mean? You know, well, that, oh man, look at all the, I know every, I can, you know, all those things, you know. Or look at this brand new video game. You play it and you are on another planet. You're in the zone. It just blows you away. What turns you on, man? You know what I've seen make Christians alive in the last 10, 5 years? Politics. Oh, man, you talking about they come alive. I wish Jesus made you come alive like that. You understand? And some of you, oh, let me tell you what, Billy, I want you to hurry because I have a Super Bowl party planned and you're going long. No, I'm not. What makes you come alive? You know what Paul said makes me come alive? Philippians 1:21, he said, for me to live is not politics. For me to live is not Democrats or Republicans or the Supreme Court or what's happening in this world. For me to live is Christ. Amen. And to die in this world, oh, it's gain. That's what Paul the Apostle said. Listen, if we belong to the kingdom that cannot be shaken, then unshakable people, listen, do not neglect the things that we have heard. 2023 it's not a year to this church. It is our Jordan, if you will. We have to take it. J. Vernon McGee, I love what he said. He said, there are two places which a believer can live. He can live in the desert, or he can have a wilderness experience, or he can enter into the blessings of God by spiritually crossing the Jordan River. Amen. This crossing over, this is where we claim and take the promises of God, loved one. Let me ask you a question. See, here's the problem. How many... What was it? Probably a million plus of the children of Israel. They left Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? They were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And they were saved, right? Yes. Of course they were. Now, listen, how many made it? Did Aaron make it? Did Moses make it? Did Miriam make it? No. Only two people made it. They made it across the Jordan. Only two. And one of them was 85 years old, Caleb. Caleb means dog, by the way. He's a tough one. Come on. Now, come on. They made it across the Jordan. Why? Faith. They listened to God. They listened to God. They listened to God, and they did what God said. See, that's how you never, never drift away, Lord. You do what God's, loved one, you do what God says. We are in revolution, and we have to revolve around the head of the church, and he is found at the throne of grace. Amen? And we need to live there. Why? Won't you listen to me? There is a storm coming. There is a storm coming into your life and my life. There is a storm that is coming to this church and every church. Well, Bill, prove that. Well, listen to Jesus. He'll tell you. He'll tell you that there's a storm coming. Do you listen to him? Are you neglecting the things that you've heard? Jesus said in Matthew 7:24, he says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And then Jesus says, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and they beat on that house. Listen, he's not talking about a house, is he? He's talking about your life. He says, and it beat on that house. And listen, it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But those in life who hear the word of God, they listen to the word of God. They don't really listen. But, you know, hear this, but they don't do them. What do? They go out and they build, Christians build their house on sand. And boy, the storms of life that come, and that house not going to make it. It falls because the storms are coming. A storm is coming now. And we have to either, well, it's only two people we can be, either wise or a fool. And we don't want to be the fool. Amen. Listen. 2023, the Jordan, we've not passed this way before. I don't know what that means, but we haven't passed this way before, but God has. He's passed before us already. Now listen to me. I love you, but you've got to listen to what I'm about to say. Jesus just told us. You know what he told us? You cannot lay a foundation in the storm. You can't do it. It's impossible. That's what he's trying to say. You don't know because you didn't build your life on these sayings of mine. You didn't listen. Does that make sense? He says, you didn't do that. It's impossible to do that. And if you can't lay a foundation in the storm, why? Because you drifted. You drifted away. You neglected so great a foundation. You know, you have to build now. It's now. We're in revolution now. Only, Jesus said this, only the life built by hearing and doing obtained victory. I want to close by giving you some warning signs. I'm not through, but I want to give you some warning signs to think about that you're drifting. Sign number one, the process of transformation in the Christ likeness in your life has stopped, meaning that you are not, as it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, we are beholding or observing in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Are being, that is a verb, it's present tense. In other words, a process. We are being transformed into the same image. We're conformed into the same image of Jesus. How? From glory to glory, from adventure to adventure, just by the Holy Spirit of the Lord. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Are you stuck in glory? If you're stuck in glory, listen to me. If you're not moving on, there is only one answer. You are resisting the leading of the Holy Spirit, the only one who loves you, the only one who can take you from glory to glory. If you're not changing, you are not beholding Jesus. Do you understand? I say that with love. Listen, it means that you're drifting. It means that you're floating through this life. The basis of all transformation is to present yourself, Romans 12, 1 and 2, present yourself a living sacrifice. Amen? The basis of all transformation is to be renewed in your mind. In other words, you get what God has said. You listen. You put it into your heart. The second sign, you've returned. You're saved. You're washed. You're forgiven. But you've returned living life like the old man instead of the new man. You've fallen back in love with the world that you have been saved out of. You're friends again with the world that you have been delivered from. You're being conformed to the world instead of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're living like the old man. Now, what does that mean? That means you have drifted away from God and drifted into some form of a pig pen. Amen? Now listen, just like the prodigal, what do you need? What do? You need to come to your senses like he did. And you need to say, I'm going home to Jesus. I'm coming back. Amen? That's what you do. See, but you have to listen. Maybe you're not listening. It's a command to listen. Oh, third sign, you neglect the things you know to be doing and you don't do them, and we're all guilty of that. In other words, you know, your Bible study. Every day you should be in your Word of God. Every day. Every day. Every day. So you say, okay, well, from 1 to 10, where am I? Well, I'm 5. How about prayer? Man, we should be praying. We're the only people on earth that have the privilege of going to the throne of grace. What are you? Well, 1 to 10. Okay, 10's great. 1's not so great. I guess I'm a 5. Well, what number 5 does that represent to Jesus? It represents you're lukewarm. And what does Jesus do with people that are lukewarm? It upsets his stomach, doesn't it? I'm not going there. Fourth sign. This is very important. Fourth sign. This is where, if the church needs to wake up, it's on the fourth sign. You no longer have a deep concern for lost people, for lost people. Listen to me, if that is true, I want you to listen to me now. That means that you have drifted away from the very heart of God the Father. That's what that means. You're so far away from his heart. Why? How do you know that, Bill? John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whosoever would believe in him, right? Would not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17 of the same verse. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. He sent him into the world that the world might be saved through him. God wants everybody saved. God is a soul winner. God has a heart of the soul winner. Jesus has a heart of the soul winner. Luke 19:10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:4, he says, "God, who desires all men, all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." Peter says in 2 Peter 3:9, he says, God is not long, he's long-suffering. He's all for all those. He says he's not willing that any should perish, any, but that all should come to repentance. The church, we have drifted away from the heart of God, and when we should be fishers of men. The fifth sign, this is a tough one. God's word. You read it. You memorize it. You hold it in your hands. You quote it. But it has no effect upon you. Christianity has become boring. Oh, that is heartbreaking. We fail to obey the command, James 1:22, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You don't know, if you're being deceived, you don't know you're being deceived. Just hearing a sermon won't cut it, guys. Hear and do. Hearing and doing. Remember what I've taught you. Hearing and doing is not two acts. Hearing and doing is what? One act. One act. If you hear, then do. That's what the Bible teaches. Listen to me. It's a sad thing for God's word to, it just doesn't affect you anymore. It doesn't affect you anymore. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, he said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Why do you call me Lord, Lord? But you don't do the things I ask you to do. You're not listening to me." The 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus said, "Listen, my sheep, they hear my voice. They follow me. They will not follow the voice of a stranger. They listen to me." Oh, loved one, listen. The church in the 21st century is adrift. Bill, you're so negative. No, I'm not. I'm speaking words of life. Listen, the church is adrift. And you know what? You know what the problem is? I mean, come on, I want us to be honest. You know what the real problem is? If the only way that we can correct it, the only way that we can correct it is for us to be honest and get our eyes on the real problem. And I'm so sick of hearing what all the problems are. The news is telling me, you know, that America's my problem. No, America's not my problem. The critical race theory, that's my problem. No, that's the world's problem. I belong to Jesus Christ and I love everybody. Amen. You know, the problem is brown people. The problem is black people. The problem is white people, and whoever I left out is your problem too. The problem is the police. The problem is our government, our schools. No, here it is. You know who the greatest problem in the world is right now, in your life, in my life? The greatest problem is you. You. Me. Me. I'm the problem. Again, Jesus, remember what he said? Luke 9:23. He said, if you want to follow me, if you want to come after me, deny yourself. Get rid of self. You don't call the shots anymore. You don't own you. I own you. I'm your master. I purchased you with my blood. You're the body of Christ. You belong to me. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. He said, if you're going to come after me, he said, you got to get rid of you. Because you're a new man now. You're a new woman now. You're a new creation now. He said, you got to get rid of the old guy. He said, disown yourself now. Take up the cross with me and follow me. Now there's the adventure. Paul the apostle, he had it down. Galatians 2:20, he says, I'm dead, man. I have been, past tense, I have been what? Crucified. When he died, I died. When he was buried, I was buried. When he was put in the tomb, I was put in the tomb. When he came out, I came out with him. When he ascended, I ascended with him. We are seated with Christ in the heavenlies right now. Listen, I go, oh God, it's no longer I who liveth. He said, I've been crucified with him. No longer I, but Christ who liveth in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If you want to be afraid, let me tell you what to be afraid of. If you want to fear something, let me tell you what to really fear. Fear yourself. Fear yourself. We're in a war. You have to put on the armor of God. You have to take up the shield of faith by which you're going to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. Amen? We live in the world that we live in today. We live in our culture is the most educated in all humanity. Do you know that? There's a lot of smart people. We're smart. I'm not very smart, but there's a lot of smart people in this world. But they're biblically illiterate. They don't know anything about God. They don't know anything about God's word. And there's a lot of Christians. They say, well, I read the Bible. And you know what Barna said? 82% of Christians, they believe that the Bible contains the words that God helps those who help themselves. You've probably heard somebody quote that to you. Well, God said, hey, God helps those who help themselves. He didn't say that. Shut up. You know what I mean? No. Listen. Now listen to me now. We have to get across the Jordan, guys. There is a cost to drifting. It's a cost. See, drifting means you're going to maybe one harbor to another harbor hoping to find what you already have. You have the blessed hope. Christ in me, the hope of glory. See, you don't have to drift, loved one. And here's what's going to happen. If you're going to, the cost is you'll drift right past your miracle. Or your miracle for somebody else. If you're drifting, you're going to pass, maybe if you're single, you might pass your future spouse, your future job, your future provision. You know what? You're not listening. You're not listening. Oh, I could stop right here. I got an hour on that. Oh, what God, when you listen to the Holy Spirit, what he does in your life, he takes you to places that you say, that can't be him. Oh, but it is. And he'll take you to your provision. Do you understand? He is leading you. He's the Spirit of truth. He will never lead you astray. We cannot be drifting. If we do, loved one, listen to me, how horrible to go through life. And drift, float away from God's plan for you, God's purpose for you, God's future for you. The things that God has planned, the good works that he's planned in eternity for you to do today. When we get over to chapter 4, in verse 7, it says, the Holy Spirit says, today. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow is Satan's favorite word. He says, today, if you will hear his voice, that means you have to listen. Today, if you will hear his voice, the first command in Hebrews, listen to Jesus. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Some are drifting. I know you don't want to be drifting, but it's time to come back into the harbor of Jesus. It's time to come home. See, Jesus is your only altar, the only harbor, the only way. I'm giving someone a word. You know how to overcome pornography? I'm going to put a lock on my computer. I'm going to put my phone. You know how you overcome pornography? You love Jesus more than you love that. That's how it's done. Do you understand? You have to listen to Him. You have to look to Him. You have to love Him, for He loves you. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. You that are drifting and floating, this is your opportunity. I don't know who you are. Maybe there's not anyone, but if it's you, oh God, in Jesus' name, hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Lift your hand to God and say, I want to get right. I want to quit floating. I want to quit drifting. If that's you, do it now. And lift it up to the Lord and say, Lord, that's me. I want no more floating in my life. No more drifting. I want no more neglecting, Lord, my prayer time. I'm serving you. No more. I want to serve you with all my heart. Father, You know who they are. You know their hand. You see them. And the hand is just a sign of faith. They're lifting their heart up to you. Say, cleanse me. Use me. I don't want to live in the pig pen. I drifted into it and I can't get out. Yes, you can. Jesus said, you come back to me and I won't condemn you. I'm going to put sandals on your feet, a ring on your hand, and I'm going to put a robe of righteousness around your filth. Come to me now. Come back to me. Get right with me. And if you don't know Christ and you're here this morning, you never asked Jesus to be your Lord. This is your opportunity not to join Calvary Chapel, but to be born again. If that's you and you don't know Christ, just lift your hand. You don't have to come to this altar. Just say, Bill, I don't know Christ. I want Him to be my Savior. I don't even know if I am saved. If that's you, quickly, let me see the hand and put it right back down and we will pray and close out this service. Join those who got saved in the first service. If God's knocking on your heart, please come to Him now. My last call, I'll not ask again. Then, Father, I assume everyone is born from above. You who are listening live, whether it be on the radio or on the online, whatever it is, you just ask Christ to be your Lord right now. Say, Jesus, save me. Save me. I'm drifting through this world. I'm drifting. I'm floating. I don't know where I'm going. I'm going from one harbor to another, and every harbor makes it worse and worse and worse. God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for this day. Lord, help us cross the Jordan. And the only way we can do it is by listening to you and being obedient. Thank you, Lord. I'm excited. I'm excited, and I love you, and I praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? If you prayed that prayer and you're listening live right now, I want to send you a booklet entitled Welcome to the Family of God. Just email me at info@loveneverfails.com. Give me your address. Booklet will be mailed out first thing in the morning. Isn't God good? No, He's good. You know what? Listen, we are. I know it's time to go, but we are the most privileged people on this planet. Amen. Let's walk on water together. Let's let God dry up the Jordan all the way back to the city of Adam. Amen. Lift it up as a heap, and we're going to cross on dry land, and we're going to walk into the provisions, the promises. Canaan is not heaven, loved one. You have to fight. There's no fighting in heaven. I hope. No. I love you dearly, guys. You know, we're going to close with a song. You need prayer when the service is over. You know, be people down here to pray with you. Amen. If you're visiting for the very first time, they'll be over at the Welcome Center. They have a free gift. Merlinda would love to give you and love to meet you as well. Let's sing to the Lord. God is so good. All of our hearts.
God
is so good. Yes, you are.
God, thank you, Jesus.
And I love him so, yes we do. I love him so, I love him so, he's so good to me. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.